So whenever you're, okay. So the title of the message is Change Your Destiny. When Pastor David was a little boy, and I'd go in at night to Tucky Man, and we'd pray and we'd talk and so forth. There was a prayer that he and I would say every night out of First Chronicles. And it's in First Chronicles 4, 9 and 10, and it's called the Prayer of Jabez. Many of you are familiar with this prayer. And it goes like this. If you pull out your insert, it's right below the scriptures in your insert. It'll be on the screen as well. So if you want to follow along, it says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying," and this is where Pastor David and I would pick it up when he was little, and we'd say this every night, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." And you're welcome to read along with me if you want to, because it's a good confession. So let's just read together. "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So what happened? So God granted him what he requested. So let me ask you a question. If you are sick, have an addiction, a habitual habit, you just can't seem to forgive someone that has hurt you, how do you handle that? Have you convinced yourself that it's just your destiny to suffer and to be in pain and distress and defeat? Have you given up and resigned yourself to the position that nothing can be done about my situation? And I'm telling you, people from all over the world who once thought there was no hope have come into the light of God's word and found that by daring to believe the promises of God, they could revolutionize their lives. And here's the scripture in this verse, and this is a story of such a miracle. Jabez did what you and I can do. He changed his destiny. His very condition, his very name tells us of his condition and station in life. Jabez means sorrow, pain, and trouble. And most of us know this. Names in the Bible described you. They either described who you were or what you were to do for God. And so names in the Bible are very descriptive and they mean a lot. You know, today we really don't think of it that way, but in those times it did. And so they are meant to communicate a message, and the person's name in the Bible often conveyed the type of person, like I said, they were or what they were to do for God. The name Jacob meant, anybody remember? Jacob meant deceiver. And that's what he was. What did Jacob do? He stole the birthright from his brother Esau. And so when Isaac was to give Esau the blessing, Jacob came in, fooled his father, who was blind at that time, and so he fooled his father, convincing him he was the older brother, and he took the blessing. And there's nothing, once the blessing had been given in that culture, it could not be taken back. And so that made the little brother head over the older brother. And so Jacob meant deceiver, and that's what he was. It's a picture of his life. Until God changed who he was, and then he changed his name to fit his new life. And his new name was Israel. And Israel means a prince. Abram meant high father, but God changed his name to fit his destiny. He called him Abraham, which means father of many nations. Moses' name, it just perfectly describes his life. Moses means drawn out. So every time his name was called, it reminded him that his life had been preserved when Pharaoh's daughter drew him out of the Nile River when he was a baby. Joshua meant savior. So all the days of his life, when Joshua was reminded of his name, he heard, "You're going to be the savior is there," and that's what he became when he led Israel into the promised land. It was the same with Jabez. His mother gave birth to him in sorrow. How? I don't know. Was he crippled at birth? Was he afflicted with some kind of weakness or disease from the beginning? Was he simply born in just to a time and an atmosphere of sorrow, trouble, and heartache? Whatever the cause, every time he heard his name called, it cried out to him, pain, trouble, sorrow. That'd be a terrible way to wake up every day, right? So in my imagination, I picture this man convinced that that's his destiny. He is confined and limited to weakness and sickness and pain. He is convinced that it is his destiny and his name spells it out. You know, who can really tell what was in this man's mind? There must have been a constant struggle before he gave in to the fact that there's no hope. But then, say, but then. See, God always has a but then. But then somebody must have told him about the unlimited power of the God of Israel. And we know from Romans 10:17 what happens when someone tells someone else about the power of God. What happens? Then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the word of God. So I think one day one of the prophets or a preacher must have walked into town talking about the power of God. And I can almost hear him now as he's preaching, and he tells how God delivered the children of Israel with signs and miracles. And I see Jabez listening to the prophet of God. He tells of the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. He tells of God's miracle bread from heaven called manna. He tells of God's miracle quail that came into the desert. He tells of God's miracle water that came out of a rock. He tells of the miracle shoes and clothes that didn't wear out, although they wore them through the desert for 40 years. He tells how God miraculously healed 2 million sick, weak, and oppressed slaves and made them rich as they came out of Egypt. How do you know that, Rocky? Well, I can read. In Psalms 105:37 says, "He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes." Leave that on the screen for a minute. So when you watch an Old Testament movie about Moses, and they're coming out of Israel, you know, and you know, they're like the old one. I love the old movie made in the 50s. You know, Moses with Charlton Heston. I love that movie. But it is so wrong. I mean, you know, I love the movie, but it is just so wrong. And so, you know, when they're coming out of Egypt, you know, there's people on canes and they're having to carry people and they're all sickly and stuff. That's not what happened. Because, you know, we just ate communion, right? And a communion is the representation of what happened during the Passover. So what happened was God said, put the blood of a lamb over the doorpost of your home. Eat that lamb. So Pastor David talked about the body and the blood, right? He said, so take this lamb and put it over the blood on the doorpost of your home. And what did that do? That protected anybody, any household that did that. The death angel, when it passed through Egypt, skipped that house. But then they ate the body of the lamb. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, a lamb represents who? Jesus, right? So they ate the body of the lamb, as Pastor David was talking about. And so what happened? They were all healed. So you got 2 million slaves. Now imagine the misery these people must have lived in. Egypt they were taskmasters. So you got 2 million slaves that were all weak and powerless one day. And the next morning they all get up and they're healed and whole and strong. And not only are they healed and whole and strong, it says he brought them out with silver and gold. So how many years were they in slavery? 400 years. So I like to say it this way. They got 400 years of back pay plus interest. Because the Bible says, I didn't put the verse in there, but the Bible says they took the wealth of Egypt with them. So they left Egypt with the wealth of Egypt, whole, healthy, and strong, all 2 million of them. And see, that is what communion does. We may teach on communion next. We may just take the whole service for communion next week. Because that is what communion does. The blood covers us, protects us. And then the body, as we eat the body, then it strengthens us and it heals our physical bodies. And that's exactly what happened in Israel. And so I hear this preacher, Jabez, is listening, saying, well, man, they came out with gold and silver, and they came out with with none feeble or sick among them. And I hear this preacher crying out and quoting Jeremiah 32:17, that, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outreached arm. There is nothing too hard for you. I hear this man declare the promise of God found in Jeremiah 33:3, which says, call on me and I will answer you, and I will show you a great and mighty things which you do not know about. When Jabez heard these things, hope must have began to rise up within him. Why? Because when you hear the word, what comes? Faith. So he realized that with God, all things are possible. So when he saw God's truth, he rebelled against the devil's lies, which is exactly what we need to do. When he saw God's light, he rebelled against the darkness. When he saw God's life, he rebelled against disease and death. When he saw God's liberty, he rebelled against bondage. His faith caused him to cry out. He became angry at his so-called destiny. He rebelled. He rose up in faith and he changed his destiny, just like you and I can. Listen again to this prayer by Jabez, 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore you in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless..." Just say, every time I read this day, just read it with me, because it's a good thing for you to say. "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God did what? Granted his request. Now you can switch over to your note page, page one, number one of your notes, if you want to follow along. Jabez wanted God to bless him, but he wanted more. He wanted to be loosed and he wanted to be free. He said, "Enlarge my territory. Deliver me from the confines, from these walls of fear and disease and defeat and pain. Enlarge my territory. Free me from these things I'm under. Free me from this addiction, Lord. Free me from this habit, Lord. Free me from this poverty, Lord. Free me from this sickness, Lord. Enlarge my territory. Get me out of this wheelchair. Raise me up out of this bed. Free me from the addiction. Free me from the habit. Loose me from the unforgiveness. I don't want to hold that unforgiveness, but I can't let go of it." Yes, you can, in Jesus' name. Open these doors. Break down these iron gates. Enlarge my territory, Lord. And notice what happened at the end in verse 10. So God granted what? What he requested. Did it say some of what he requested? No. So Jabez said something very important in there, though. He said that God would keep him from evil. He was saying, in effect, that he wanted to be healed and delivered to serve God, and that he didn't want to use his freedom from sickness and fear and trouble to serve the devil. So Jabez changed his destiny by calling upon God. You can change the whole course of your life by looking at the promises of God and daring to believe them. John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will do what?" It'll make you free. Number two on your insert, the first step to healing and miracles is to see God's truth in the Bible. God does not want you sick or in bondage. He does not want you to suffer and be in pain of any kind. Your trouble and sorrow did not come from your loving Heavenly Father. Matthew 13:28 says, "An enemy has done this." And Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief does not come except to what? Steal and kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it what? More abundantly." It is the devil who tries to steal your health, kill your body with sickness, and destroy your soul in hell. Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And this is your hour to enjoy abundant life if you want it. If you want to stay in your misery, God will let you. But if you want to be free, He will set you free. The will of God is that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. How many of you know our mind, will, and emotions need to prosper before anything else counts? How do you know that's true, Rocky? Because, again, I can read. 3 John 1, 2 clearly states, God will do these things. And here's what he said. He said, "Beloved, I wish," or "I pray above all things, above everything else I'm going to pray about, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul, mind, will, and emotions prosper." Page 2, number 1. Jesus came all the way from heaven to bring you deliverance. When he came for you. When he died for you. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 says, "Surely he has borne my griefs, sicknesses, weakness, and diseases, and carried our sorrows and pain. And with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole." I said what? We are healed and made whole. Pain must go in Jesus' name. Infirmity must go in Jesus' name. Unforgiveness must go in Jesus' name. It has no place in the body of Christ, and it has no place in the body of someone who is born again. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. "Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and diseases, and carried our sorrows and pain. And with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole." Matthew 8, 17. "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." Psalms 103, 3. "He forgives," this we talked about last week. How many of our sins? All my sins. And heals what? All my diseases. And just as he bore your sins, Jesus bore your sicknesses. It's not God's will for you to live in sin. And it is not God's will for you to live in sickness of any kind. Your sorrow, pain, sickness, and trouble are from the devil. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose, for what purpose? For what we're talking about. This purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Why? That he might destroy. Say destroy.
Destroy.
Destroy the works of the devil. And James 4:7 tells us, resist the devil and he'll what? Flee from you. Rise up in faith. You know, I heard Jerry Savelle this morning as I was driving in talking about that verse. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He was talking about some Christians are like, devil, stop it. Just quit. Go away. There is no authority in that wimpy little voice. You're supposed to be a man or woman of authority. Amen. Devil, you are done in my life in Jesus' name. By his stripes I am healed. I am a son of the living God, and you have no place in me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You got to speak to him like you know what you're talking about, and you have some conviction about it. Rise up in faith. Rebel against that sickness, habit, addiction, and everything else that is keeping you from living God's best. Take those promises and climb up into the presence of God. Change your destiny by calling upon God for his miracles. God's saying to you now what he said to Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. How many of you want to see some things you do not know? He tells us in John 14:14, if you ask anything in my name, what's he say? I will do it. And if that is not enough, we know Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I have seen many people, including myself, change their destiny by believing these promises and rebelling against the devil. Around the world, crippled, blind, deaf, and all manner of sick people have been delivered as they called upon the name of God in faith. Number two in your insert. But you need to understand this. You will never, I said never be healed as long as you think God wants you to be sick and suffer in this life. You must see that it is the devil who wants you to suffer. It is God who wants you to be well. Do not quietly accept sickness and sorrow and trouble and circumstances. Get angry at the devil. Rebel in your heart against, you know, what he's tried to bring in your life. And because unless you do, you will not be delivered. I once heard a preacher, and this preacher, he's one of my fathers in the faith. And some of you have heard this story, but I love this story when you're talking about healing. His name was John Osteen. Now, he was Joel Osteen's dad. But now, John was a hardcore Word of Faith preacher. Joel is a full gospel preacher, but his dad was a hardcore Word of Faith preacher. And I heard him tell this story one night, and I read it, and I've got this story, and I like it, and I'm going to quote it, okay? I'm just going to quote. He said this, when I was conducting a meeting in Houston, which is where their church was, I saw a crippled woman in one of the restaurants. I introduced myself to her. I told her the story of Jesus, who had not changed, but was still longing to heal the sick, as in the Bible. I shared with her about the healing of my own daughter and other miracles. When I finished, she said, I'm a Christian, and if God wants me this way, I am perfectly willing to suffer for him. She felt like God had given her the crippling disease and that she was pleasing him by suffering. Unless she changes her thinking, she will go to her grave in this condition. That night in the service, I told the same good news about Jesus, and someone there had a different attitude. There was a young girl who was afflicted with a club foot. She heard the truth. She realized it was the work of the devil. She rebelled against him. She cried unto the Lord. Jesus healed her instantly, and she hurried to the platform to tell of her miracle. She changed her destiny from being a hopeless cripple. End of quote. God will not heal you and deliver you to serve the devil. Jabez continued to pray like this, Lord, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I would cause no pain. Jabez wanted to serve and please God. Pour your heart out to God. Press in and touch the hem of his garment. Do not be stopped and do not be discouraged. God wants you to have abundant life. The Bible says God granted him what he requested, and thank God Jabez was free. He would not believe that it was his destiny to go through life with pain and sorrow. He turned his eyes away from his name. And you got to turn your eyes away from that to say, I know, but Pastor, I'm in pain. But Pastor, the guilt is just so bad. But Pastor, I have this habit and I want to stop, but I can't. And Pastor. He turned his eyes away from his name to the name of the great Jehovah God, who had declared in Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord that heals you. He changed his destiny, and so can you. Remember last week we were reading out of the New Testament, and even the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, you know, he had revelations that you and I are still trying to figure out what he was talking about. But he even said, ugh, why do I keep doing what I don't want to do? Because we're human beings. But you remember in the next verse, what did he say? He said, how do I free myself from this condition? Anybody remember what the next verse said? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus made a way out. Does that mean you have to be perfect? No, because he already made you perfect in him. God sees you perfect. So don't worry so much about the sin. Don't worry so much about the condemnation. Don't worry so much about the unforgiveness. Because if you will start focusing on him, focus on him, then these other things will diminish and go away. So if you want what the people in the Bible receive from Jesus, and there's something you have to do, you have to do what the people in the Bible did. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. So when the truth of this statement, I believe, sinks into your spirit, it will eliminate your fears and doubts about healing completely. This scripture tells us about who Jesus is. It declares something about what he was in the past, what he will be in the future, and what he is today. What kind of person was Jesus? So would you agree that in his time on the earth, Jesus was a healer of the sick? I don't think anybody could read the Bible and deny that. Matthew 9:35 says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, if he's the same today, then there is hope for you and for every sick person. Mark 6:56 says, you know, sometimes we skip things. Because how many of you know about Peter and sending out handkerchiefs to heal the sick? They wanted to just let his shadow fall upon them. Touch the hem of his garment. Those kind, anything like that. But do you realize it says the same thing about Jesus? It said right here, Mark 6:56. Wherever he, talking about Jesus, entered into the villages, cities, and country, they laid the sick in the marketplace and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made, some of them. Well, you know, it's only God's will to heal some people. Well, you know, you will not find one scripture in the Bible where Jesus healed and he healed just a selective few. And as many as touched him were made well. All you got to do is touch Jesus. The Bible says he was what he was yesterday, he is today. If Jesus is the same today, then why are all the sick people not healed? Well, let me ask you a question. If Jesus still saves, why are all the sinners not saved? Because only a sinner who hears the truth about Jesus and accepts the truth about Jesus, that he is Lord, will get what? Saved. It doesn't mean, if somebody chooses not to get saved, it doesn't mean that Jesus has changed or lost his power to save, does it? In like manner, if a person is to be healed, they must hear the truth about what the Bible says about healing and act upon it, just like they have to act upon salvation. If over the years, as little had been preached about salvation has been preached about healing, there wouldn't be hardly anybody saved. Number 3 in your insert. Again, John 8:32 says this, and you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. No sinner can be saved by a message like this one. Well, you know, it may not be God's will to save you. You know, God used to save all sinners, but, you know, that's when, you know, it was early in the apostles and he had to build a church, but, you know, he's changed. You know, he now saves a few, but you know, he may not want to save you. He may want to teach you a lesson by sending you to hell for eternity. Be sure, you know, so when you pray for something, make sure you pray it like this. Lord, if it's your will, save me. Now, that would be a... No, it would not. They are hardcore on salvation. That is wrong. Strike what she said from that video, because that is wrong, wrong, wrong. Baptists are hardcore on salvation. They got salvation down. Now, the rest of it, they kind of ignore, but they got salvation down. That they do. So it is not, that is not, now that's how they teach about healing. If it's God's will to heal, then he'll heal. It's the same thing. Do you understand the word salvation doesn't mean going to heaven? Salvation means you being saved, which is going to heaven and being delivered and being healthy and being whole and having a sound mind and living in peace and living in joy. That is salvation. So either God saves or he doesn't. So if I as a preacher take out one piece of that and I only teach on it, salvation, and I only preach on and I only teach on salvation, meaning being saved, and I forget the rest of salvation, what are people going to have faith for? To be saved. That part of salvation. But if I ignore healing, or I water it down, which is under the umbrella of salvation, if I ignore it or I water it down, or if I change it and I take the responsibility away from me that I have to do something and say, well, God, if it's your will, how many people are going to get healed? Well, not very many. So we can't preach like that, because it'd be crazy. So if you know the truth will make you free. And the purpose of this week and next week is to help you know the truth about Jesus, his power and his willingness to heal and set you free. There's a statement I want engraved in your spirit. It's in your insert. I want you to read it again and again this week. It's very small. I want you to be sure you understand it, and it's not complicated. It's number 4 on page 2 of your insert. If you want what people in the Bible receive from Jesus, you must do what people in the Bible did. That's not complicated. Jesus had a method. And you know what? Jesus has not changed. Because he's what? The same yesterday and forever, right? He's the same. So if we want what sick people receive from Jesus in the Bible, then we got to do what they did. And do you wonder why a sinner who refuses to accept Jesus Christ as Lord is not saved? Do you wonder that? No. I mean, we know why, right? Because if you don't accept Jesus as Lord, you're not saved. Is that correct? All right. Then why should we wonder why a sick person is not healed who does not follow the Bible pattern? Begging God is not the Bible pattern. If you want, if you who are sick will do for Jesus what the sick people in the Bible did, you will receive exactly what they received, healing and deliverance. And you know, some of those people were demon possessed. Some of those people were out of their mind. Some of those people were physically sick. So sickness and healing today, I'm not talking about just, I have cancer and I need it to go away. I'm talking about that, but I'm talking about habits. I'm talking about addictions. I'm talking about anything that's got your body messed up. And I'm talking about unforgiveness, because we all know that if you live in unforgiveness, that brings bitterness, and bitterness will affect your physical body. Doctors tell us that. We know that, right? So if you who are sick will do the same thing, you will get the same results. If you give him your unbelief, like the people in Nazareth, when he went to Nazareth in Matthew 6:6, what did they get? Nothing. They got nothing. So I have seen this demonstrated many times in my life. I have witnessed large congregations explode with joy and faith as they understood the truth of God's word. And if you've never been in a service like this, I hope to God someday we have service like this and you see this. Because have you ever seen a service interrupted by the shout of those who are healed in their seats and they just begin to stand up and testify of God's healing? I have. It works. And God's no respecter of persons. You don't have to wait till the end. You can just get healed right now. You can let that thing go right now. You can be free from that habit right now. It works. God is no respecter of persons. He does not love others any more than he loves you. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7-8, ask. He said what?
Ask.
One more time. What?
Ask.
Which means you got to do what?
Ask.
And it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Does it say beg? Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone, not special people, everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. God will hear you. You are as important to him as anyone else. There is no one more important to God than you. Say that after me. There is no one more important to God than me. And that is true. He has no favorites because we are all his favorites. You know, I have that, y'all have seen it before, I have that thing etched in marble that I keep in my office at home. And it says, you know, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. And it's true, I am. But so are you. If you believe it. And I believe I'm his favorite. I mean, he blesses me all the time. Zach's his favorite. You know, Pastor Zach's getting raises, and he's getting good deals, and he's getting all this, and he's getting promotions, and he's getting all this, and you know, and he's like 12. So, you know, it's like, wow, you know, it's crazy. Why? Because God is faithful. Say faithful.
Faithful.
He doesn't care who you are. What he cares about is, will you do something for him? It's not about works. It's about the heart. Where's your heart in this? Matthew 8:1-3. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, talking about Jesus. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So he had no question about Jesus' ability, because he says, if you want to, you can. So he had no question about Jesus' ability. He just wasn't sure if Jesus would get involved with a leper because they're unclean and whatever. And so then Jesus put his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And I'm convinced that Jesus did not love that leper any more than he loves you. He is the very same Jesus today that he was in the day that leper was healed. If you want what that leper received, you got to do what that leper did. And many want what that leper received, but they're unwilling to do what he did. And over the course of the next few weeks, there'll be hundreds of people listen and watch this service. And many of them will want what he received, but many of them will not receive what he received because they only think they're doing what he did. So let's take a minute and study this leper. Number 5 on your insert. He came to Jesus. He came to who?
Jesus.
He didn't philosophize it. He didn't go to religion. He didn't go to theology. He came directly to who?
Jesus.
He didn't get all involved in the synagogue. He didn't get he came to Jesus. So and he came to the right person. He came to Jesus. Jesus is the healer. See, you can't have healing without the healer. You can't have benefits without the benefactor. You can't have blessings without the blesser. You can't separate the gift from the giver. The man or woman who prays for you, me, if I pray for you, I cannot heal you. I have zero ability to heal in my body. Only God can heal. So you got to come to Jesus. He is full of compassion. He is full of mercy. And as we already read this morning in Matthew 8:17, it says, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. You cannot have healing without the healer. Number 6 on your insert. Our hearts have many rooms, and we know this. We lock things away. We have our walls. We put up our walls. You know, we don't want to deal with this. We hate this person. We hate this group of people. We hate this ethnic group. We hate this social group. We hate this and we hate that, and they hurt me, and I have this pain, and I this, 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 and it's all about me. And you know, since it's all about me, I can harbor all of these things inside of me and just let my body rot to hell. Or not. I prefer the or not personally, but you know, that's up to you. Because there's a way out of all of that. And so how do you get out of all that? Well, what did this leper do? He went to who?
Jesus.
That's how you get out of all that nonsense. And our hearts have many rooms and we want to hide. You do understand God is God and he already knows everything. That sin you're hiding, he already knows about it. That unforgiveness that's inside of you that you know, you just don't want him to deal. He knows it's there. That's kind of why we call him God. You know, because he created everything, including you, and he already knows it all. You know, and maybe, no, you're not. You're forgiven. And so here is, and I don't know, I may be the only person who does this. I hope not, but I may be. When I sin, and I've known I sin, I immediately go to God and talk to him about it. By name. And I call the sin. Well, what have you done lately, Ron? I'm not telling you nothing. But it's not like, God, please forgive me of all my, I go to. Because it's not like I'm hiding anything from him. That thing you're doing, it's not like he doesn't know about it. I'm not going to talk to any of y'all in here because I know none of y'all have these problems. But to you watching out there that you've got a real problem with pornography, but you're afraid to go talk, it's not like he doesn't know what you're watching. Just go talk to him about it. Well, you go talk to him about pornography? Yes. It's not like he doesn't know already. Well, he'll think less of, he knows what you're doing. And to him, if you're born again, if you're him, you are righteous in his sight. So now, take your problem to him, because if you ask anything, he will do it. But you have to ask the anything by name. And so, take those situations to him directly. Don't try to beat around the bush. Just go to God and tell him what's going on, because he knows already. But he's waiting on you to tell him so that you two can deal with it. The leper did more than just come to Jesus. He came humbly. He came worshiping Jesus. He came, as Mark and Luke recorded, again, to worship him. Basically, he came to Jesus doing what Psalms 150 verse 6 told him to do, which was let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And the leper allowed Jesus to settle all doubt about the will of God. He had a problem. And it concerned the will of God to heal. Number 7 on your insert, and we close. When he gets to Jesus, he says, Lord, if it's your will, you can heal me. Jesus didn't take long to settle this question for him once and for all. He said, I will. Now, you have to understand, this is the only man in the entire Bible that ever asked Jesus if it was his will to heal. And Jesus settled it immediately. And what did he say? He didn't say, I want to, but sorry, leprosy is a little difficult. He said what?
I will.
It is his will to heal you. The Lord Jesus is with you as you've heard this message. You know, we've talked about the promises and the power and the willingness to deliver you. Begin to praise him right now. Begin to just lift up and praise him. Begin to just in your spirit, man, just praise him right now. Because you don't have to wait for someone to call for the sick. You don't have to wait. Just do what this leper did. Just start praising him right now. And you don't have to ask the question, Lord, if it's your will, because he already answered it. What was his answer? I will. And so begin to praise him right now for your healing and for your victory over anything keeping you from living the abundant life that Jesus came to give you. You know, praise him while you feel the pain. Don't lose your praise. You know, sometimes when we're in pain or sometimes when we're dealing with something emotionally or something, we lose our praise. Don't lose your praise. You can't afford to do that. Do not lose your praise. Pastor David, if you can help me, please. So do not lose your praise. You got to keep your praise on all the time. Even when you're feeling the pain, keep your praise on. Even when the sorrow is just overwhelming, keep your praise on. And you know, you've been diagnosed with this disease or you have this heart, just keep your praise on. You've got to do what this leper did. You know, leprosy was and is probably the most terrible way to die because your extremities just start falling off. You lose a finger, your nose falls off, your ears fall off. It is just a terrible way to die. But what's the first thing that this leper did? He praised him. No matter what's going on, you got to praise God. You got to praise Jesus and let it go. And you don't have to ask him if it's your will because he already settled the question. I will. Praise him and let go of that addiction. Praise him and let go of that habit. Praise him while that unforgiveness, that bitterness inside of you just lifts off. Now arise in Jesus' name. Get up in the name of Jesus. Begin to do what you couldn't do before and act your faith. Act as though God told you the truth. Make no plans to be sick. Confess healing to those you meet. Give God the glory and serve him in good health and complete freedom. It is your right as a child of God. Let's sing that chorus in Waymaker. Can you do that? Because he makes a way. Say, he makes a way. He is faithful. Can you put the words on the screen for me?
Promise keep light in the darkness.
My God. My God.
That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness.
My God.
My God, that is who you are. You are
way maker, miracle worker,
promise keeper. Light in the
Thank
darkness.
You, my Lord Jesus.
My God,
hallelujah. Stand
that
to your feet.
Is who you are. You are
way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper.
Light in the darkness,
promise keeper.
My God, that
he is a promise keeper. He has promised you health and wholeness in your body. It is yours by covenant, which Pastor David talked about. It belongs to you. Thank you, my Lord Jesus.
You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness.
Thank you, my Lord
God,
Jesus.
That is who you are.
If you need deliverance from anything today, sickness, disease, unforgiveness, heartache, pain, addiction, habits, none of us will know what it is. It doesn't matter to us what it is. All that matters is deliverance. Jesus said, I will. You can receive it right where you are, or if you want, you can come down and I'll lay hands on you. And let's see God move in this place today. If you need prayer, let's pray. In Jesus' name. Richard? Randy? Thank you, my Lord God. Wholeness, health, healing. Thank you, Lord God. Tuya shandoratia sandaratia shakoratia sindiriato shando mashakoratia setia shondokra. Wholeness, health. Wholeness and health. Wholeness and health. In Jesus' name. Wholeness, health. In Jesus' name. Wholeness and health. But y'all spread out a little bit. Wholeness, health. In Jesus' name.
You are here.
Health and wholeness. In the name of Jesus. Health and wholeness.
Heart.
in the name of Jesus.
I worship you.
Wholeness in this body.
I worship
wholeness in this body in Jesus' name. You mind if I touch you?
You are here.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Turning lives around. I worship
stick to these
you.
Hips, these legs, these bones.
I
command that infection
you.
To die in Jesus' name. I
you
command wholeness to be
here.
In Christian's body in the name of Jesus.
Mend
I speak health.
Heart.
I speak wholeness in the authority of Jesus'
I
name.
You.
By the blood of the Lamb. I thank you, Father.
I
that he is healthy, that he is whole, that he is complete, that it is gone, that it has disappeared, that it is reversed. I thank you, Father, for a great report
in
Jesus' name. Amen.
That is
amen.
Who you are. You are
wholeness and health. Wholeness
miracle
and health.
Work, promise keep
and health.
Light in the darkness,
in Jesus' name.
My God,
in
that
Jesus
is
name.
Who you are.
In Jesus'
that
name.
Is who you are. That
complete.
Is who
wholeness,
you
complete
are.
Health.
That
y'all back
is
up
who
just a little bit, please.
Are.
Thank you. In Jesus' name.
That is who
in Jesus'
you
name.
Are.
Receive.
That is who you are.
No.
That is who
receive.
You are.
It is yours. It belongs to you. Just pick it up and claim it in Jesus' name. Health and wholeness in the name of Jesus. Wholeness in Jesus' name. Health in every cell of your body. Wholeness in every part of your mind. Wholeness and health in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against you prospers. Your life is about to start and blow up and go on and be great. Wholeness in every part of your body, in every aspect of your life, in Jesus' name. Do you believe Jesus wants to heal you? Okay, now here comes the hard one. Do you believe he will heal you? Then receive your healing in Jesus' name. Not because I say so, but because the Word says so. Healing, wholeness, in the name of Jesus.
You are here, touching every heart. I worship you.
I worship you. Thank you, my Lord God. Praise you, Lord
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Sure,
healing
every heart.
Healing every heart, every body.
I worship you.
Thank you, my Lord God. We worship you, Jesus.
I worship
Jesus.
That you are
health
here.
Health in your body, Randy.
And
total
turning
wholeness and health
around.
In Jesus' name. It belongs to
I worship
you.
Worship you.
In Jesus' name.
I worship you.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You are here. Mending every
it's yours.
I worship
it is yours. In the name of Jesus. It is yours. In the name of Jesus.
You are way maker,
which
shoulder?
I speak to this shoulder in Jesus' name. I command wholeness and health, pain. I drive you out. Whatever's causing the underlying condition, you are dismissed. And I speak wholeness and health, healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, my Lord God. In every area of your body. Jesus' name.
You are way maker,
miracle worker,
promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle
to those of you at home or those of you watching in the name of Jesus, I speak wholeness and health over your bodies. It has no pain. Pain has no place in you. You are free and you are loosed. Any kind of pain in your life is dismissed in Jesus' name. Let's just worship our Lord and God.
That is who you are.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
That is who you are. That is who you are.
Thank you, Lord God.
That is who you are. That is who you are. You are
way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Yes, thank you, my Lord
God,
Jesus.
That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper,
thank you,
light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who you are.
If you are in this place today, you're watching or listening to me, and you don't know this Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, nothing I said applies to you. But you can be free. And the first way to be free is to be free spiritually and just get reconnected to our Lord and our Savior. The only way to do that is to accept Him. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you'd like to accept Him today, or you could say, Pastor, I need to get serious. I know I need to be like I want what they got in the Bible. I know I have to get serious. And I want to rededicate my life to Him today. Then I just would encourage you to do just that. So if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you would like to rededicate your life to Him today, just lift up a hand. Let me see that. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your faithfulness in Jesus' name. It's all about Him. It's not about me. It's not even about you. It is about Him and what He will do for you if you will just let Him. You don't have to live like the rest of the world lives. You can live in Him, in this great bubble, and it is awesome. If you've accepted Jesus or rededicated your life to Him at home or watching or listening, just say this prayer with us. We can all say it together, so please join me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before You today, and I lift up my Lord, my Jesus, because of what He did for me. And Jesus, I accept what You did for me. You are my Lord, my God, my Savior, my King. I declare it in Your name, and I receive it in Your name. I know that healing is mine. I know that wholeness is mine. I will not let go of who I am in You ever. And it's in Your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Just stay in an atmosphere of worship for a second. Thank you, Lord God. Praise You, Jesus. There's somebody here, and you may have come down for prayer, you may not have, but there's somebody here, and you're dealing with depression. Just in a way that just hurts your heart. And you just live in that state. And I can feel that. And it hurts. If that's you, just take a brave step of faith and lift your hand. Let me see who that is. There's more than one. If you raised your hand or have your hand raised, just if you would take that brave step of faith and just come down here for a minute. God wants to deal with that. It's going to go away right now. See, I love it when God deals with me this way, although it's very emotional. Because when He does that, I can feel what you're feeling. And it's, my Lord, I don't know how you feel like that every day. Why don't you guys line up across the front? Because I want to talk to you all at the same time. And I know it's not easy to step out when somebody says something like that. And you have to admit, I get that. I understand it's not easy. I also understand living with what you're living with is not easy. There is a freedom available Depression has to go. It has no place in you. If Jesus is your Lord, it has no place in you. But Pastor, it's hard. I know. I'm not saying it's hard. God's not saying it's hard. But here's what I need you to visualize. Just please pay attention to me for a minute. Here's what I need you to visualize. I need you to visualize, because you wear it like a coat. I want you to visualize taking it off and just laying it at the foot of the cross. Just take it off and just put it at the foot of the cross. And we're going to turn and walk away, and we're never going back and picking up that coat again. Because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Him, and He already dealt with it. Zach, never again. Never again. Never again. It is just the devil. You got so much going on, so much going for you. It is just the devil. And I bind him up. I loose it, and I loose freedom into your life and into your heart and into your soul. Depression has to go. We command it to leave. In Jesus' name, it has no place here anymore. In Jesus' name, no depression, no sense of self-worth that's lacking, no depression, no heartache. Take it off and lay it down. It no longer belongs to you. It belongs to Him. He already paid for it. For you to keep it is stealing. He paid for it. It is His. You give it to Him. Let Him have it, and you be free. Because that's why He died. Freedom is yours in Jesus' name. Freedom. Just receive it. Just receive it. Let Him have it. Freedom. Let it lift off. Just let it go. In the name of Jesus. Let it go. Come on, just let it go. It's fallen off. Just let it. I can see it trying to hang on, but no, we're not going to take it. We're just going to be right here. We're not keeping it. Jody, it's gone. It's gone. Stretch your hands out, please. It is gone in Jesus' name. No more. No more. In Jesus' name, be free. Give me your name. Adam. I don't know you, but I do know this. That thing you deal with inside, it's not for you. Do you know Jesus is Lord? Then it is not for you. It belongs to the devil. He wants you to wear it. And Jesus says you're free. You're going to listen to one or the other voice. And you look like a really smart guy to me. So I believe you're going to be smart. Listen to the voice of God. Listen to what the Bible says. And be free. So I bind that thing off of you in Jesus' name. I command freedom to flow, peace to flow, joy like you've never known in your life to flow. You are free in Jesus' name. Now just walk in it and live in it. And if it tries to come back, you do not accept it. You just rebuke it and you tell it has to go in the name of Jesus. You ready to be done with this? Are you? Your instinct is going to go back and pick it back up because you've dealt with it for so long. We're not going to do that. We're casting that thing off. We're putting on a robe of glory. We're putting on a robe of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to pick that coat of depression up anymore. I bind its power over you in the name of Jesus. And I command you to be free and whole and loosed in Jesus' name. Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Say it again.
I'm free.
In Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. And never let it come back on you again. Satan, I bind your influence over this young man. And I speak freedom over him in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something that is very, very important. When Jesus healed people, sometimes he said, don't say anything, but many times he told them what? Go and tell. Go tell the priests what happened. It's important we testify. So you need to testify that you are healed. You need to testify you are whole. You need to testify that you're delivered. You need to tell people around you that you're free. You need to tell people around you that God has healed you. And when that manifestation is realized in your life over this next week, I want you to testify. I want you to either put it on the Band app. I want you to put it on our Facebook page. Or I want you to email me at info@calvarynewlife.cc. I want to hear about it. I want others to hear about it because it's important that you testify of the power and the goodness of God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. You may have a seat. Thank you, Jesus. You all right? Well, my offering was going to go right along with this and still is. You know, the centurion in the Bible that came to Jesus for healing, he said, you don't need to come to my house, just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said in Luke 7:9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. You know, Jesus wasn't surprised very often, but this guy surprised Jesus. Because this guy's not even a Jew. He's a Gentile. He's not even part of the fold, you know? And he turned around and he said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Not even among my own people. The way you see Jesus, the revelation that you have of him, it will not affect your acceptance of God to you, but it will affect your acceptance of what God has for you. It will affect how you receive from him. The way you see him determines exactly what you'll get from him. Do you see him as a good, merciful God? Do you see him as a loving heavenly Father? Do you see him as your healer? Consider the Roman centurion, as we just said. And he said, he told Jesus in Luke 7:6-7, he said, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word. My servant will be healed. Now compare him to Jairus. Now Jairus is what? The synagogue ruler. He's not just a Jew. He's a big-time Jew. And he says, he told Jesus in Mark 5:23, my daughter is dying. Please come to my house and lay your hands on her so that she can live. Do you know that Jesus, he doesn't have to go to your house? You know, Jesus doesn't have to have somebody lay their hands, his hands on you. Jesus doesn't have to do any of that, but he's so merciful. Why did Jesus agree to go to Jairus' house? Because what Jesus will do is he will find where you are in faith. And he will come down to your level of faith. The centurion, he was like, ooh, buddy, you got this. And Jairus is like, I know you can do it, but you got to come to my house and lay your hands on her. It won't work any other way. Jesus is like, as long as you believe something completely, I'm in. So he goes to his house. So Jesus, you know, you don't have to be some great master of faith. Jesus will meet you where you are. Jairus believed that his daughter could be healed, but only if Jesus laid his hands on her. And the centurion was different. He said, Lord, you don't have to come to my house. I know who you are. The centurion believed that Jesus did not have to come to his house for his servant to be healed. He believed that Jesus only needed to speak the word And again, Jesus said, he said to Jesus, speak the word and my servant at home will be healed. Do you know who Jesus is? You know, we just spent all this time talking about him this morning. You ought to know something about him now. The centurion had a greater understanding of Jesus than Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. And you know, the centurion, as I said, wasn't even a Jew. Jesus asked his disciples in Mark 4:44, he says, why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? You're with me every day. And in Matthew 6:30, he says, you have little faith. But to the woman whose daughter was demon-possessed, he told her in Matthew 15:28, O woman, great is your faith. And to the centurion again, he said, I have not found such great faith, not even Israel. My desire for today, as we finish up today and we move on and we go to next week, is that you have an accurate understanding of who Jesus is. Because when your revelation of Jesus is big, you will know that he has freely given to you. And when you know what is yours in Christ Jesus, you'll be rich in all things. And then when we get to this part of the service, tithing and offerings, you'll look forward to it. This is one of my favorite parts of the service because I get to sow into the kingdom of God. And why is that such a big deal? Because I know I serve a big, prosperous God who wants to prosper me. So it all comes down to this question. How do you see God? Physically, do you see him as the healer? Or if he wants me to suffer, I'll suffer for him. Do you see God as the way maker, no matter what the situation is? Or he's not going to make a way for me. Do you see God as the prosperer? Or, you know, he really doesn't care about my prosperity. See, I see God as the way maker, as the healer, as the prosperer, as the counselor, as the psychologist, as the Savior. And that's who he is to me. He's a way maker. So let's go ahead and receive the offering. And as we do, Father, I just thank you that you bless us as we sow into the kingdom of God. I receive that blessing in Jesus' name as we do. And I just thank you that every person in this room has their eyes open. And as they sow, they understand that they're sowing and that there's a reaping that goes behind that. I thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. I do have a few announcements that I want to go over quickly. If you could put the bulletin up on the screen. And I do this, the only reason I do this is so people at home will know what's going on. You can read the bulletin for yourself, but they're not here. So today, right, Pastor Zach, we have a youth luncheon and a fellowship. That's right for service. Okay. And that's until 4. So if your youth is staying, you got to pick them up at 4 o'clock today. Kids for the Nations. If you have someone between 5 and 12 that's going to go to Kids for the Nations over at Christ for the Nations, that's coming up in 5 weeks. We need to know because we got to make the reservations. People have given. All the camps are paid for. Everything's done. We just need you to sign up. So there's a sign-up sheet at the back. And so if you want to sign up, again, 5 to 12, we need to know who they are and names. And we'll do that this week and next week, and then we're making reservations. So if you know somebody that's not here, reach out to them and let them know that we're taking those names. And they can get those to Jessica Oliver, and you can ask her any questions you have about that. But we're only taking registrations today and next week. So if you want your children to go to Christ for the Nations, for Kids for the Nations, we got to know that. Next Saturday, May 29th, 9 o'clock, the women are having a WOW, Women of the Word breakfast. You can see that up there. We will have another healing and deliverance service that will be completely different next Sunday. Thank you all that participated last week and stayed for lunch in the old church meeting. I appreciate that very much. We will have a night of worship and prayer coming up on June the 4th at 7 o'clock. The building will open at 6:45. This will be different than we've done in the past, different format, different way of doing it. So if you'd like to come, we'd love for you to come, and I'd love for everybody to be here. So with that, I want to very quickly talk a little bit about last week for those of you that weren't here. If this is your church home, so please bear with me if it's not your church home, give me 5 minutes and we'll be done. If this is your church home and you weren't here last week, please raise a hand. I need to get some forms in your hands. So we need one over here. Anybody else? Everybody? We need one up here. If I can get a set right here, that would be great. So very quickly, let me go through the first one with you, the call to action form. And basically what we talked about last week very quickly is, you know, what kind of church are we going to be? We're coming out of COVID. What kind of church are we going to be? Are we going to be a church that ministers to people, or are we going to be a glorified Sunday school class? Are we going to be a church that reaches out and grows, or are we just going to be, you know, us three and no more, you know, kind of thing? And we decided that is not the kind of church we're going to be. But there is a little bit of a problem. With the amount of people we have, we just don't have the numbers to do things we need to do. So when we talk about church growth, it's not all about just numbers, but unfortunately, it takes numbers to do things. Because we need to be able to minister to couples and singles and young adults and the older folks and the youth and the children and the new members. We need in the men's ministry and the women's ministry. But with this amount of mass of people, there's not enough people to do all of those things. So how are we going to fix that? We have to grow the church. You know, if you want signs, wonders, and miracles today are for the lost. Therefore, you know, they're for you, yes, but they're primarily for the lost so that God can show up, show off, and show himself real to people. So as of last week, every church membership was canceled. As of this moment, there's not one member of this church, including me. There are zero members. Because our membership before was pretty much you sign up and we're done. It's not going to be like that anymore. If you want to be a member, there are requirements. You have to participate. And it's on here, the things I expect from you and the things I expect from us. It's under church membership on that section. You can read that. Now, there is a church membership application. If you want to participate, you can turn that back into me whenever you get that ready. And we will start taking memberships effective today because I canceled every one of them. And so also there is an information form. You do not have to be a member to minister, because you may say, look, I'm not ready to make that kind of commitment, but I can help out in children's church once a week. Well, I mean once a month. And so you do not have to be a member to participate. So there are many, many things on here that we need help with. Now, we don't need help with all of them today because some of them we don't have in place yet. But if it's something that's of interest to you, then at least we know, yeah, okay, we got that person set that we can set aside that would be interested in helping when we get there. So part of membership is part of helping us grow. And that just takes excitement, and it takes work, and it takes telling people. And that's why it's so important that you testify to what happened today. Because when you start testifying, you build what? Excitement. And people want to go where things are exciting. And so we are breaking out of our mold. We're doing things a little different. And because we need to minister to singles, because we'll have just a few singles. But you've got to have, you understand, it's not about, oh, Rocky just wants to grow the church. It's not about that. We just can't do what God's telling us to do without at least a core group that's big enough to do those things. You understand that? Okay. So that's where we are. That's what we're doing. And if you want to be a part, we would love for you to be a part. Now, you say, well, I'm not going to fill out any of that stuff. Great. Come to church and just learn and listen. And at some point, God will speak to you and you'll come to me and you'll say, hey, let me have one of those forms of some kind. Don't worry about it. If you don't want to participate in any way, shape, or form, it's okay. Come to church. But if you want to be a member, then you got to be a member. If you want to participate in ministry, that's great. We'd love for you to help with ministry. And if you just want to come, just come. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I appreciate you guys being here today. I'm praying and believing that based on what happened today, was today a blessing to you? Amen. Okay, so based on what happened here today, I'm praying and believing that you will start talking this week and bring in more people next week. Because if it's the same group next week and we're talking about healing again, you know, there needs to be a few new people in here. So let's get excited and let's bring some people in next week And we will do this on a different topic in a different way next Sunday. So let's just see what God has for us. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the opportunity to minister your word this morning. I believe in the name of Jesus that needs were met, bodies were healed, emotions were healed, depression was cast off, that habits were broken, addictions were broken. I believe, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that we are a free people. And may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord keep you. And may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Angels of God, I do dispatch you to go forth into this next week. Whatever numbers are needed, I just dispatch you in the name of Jesus to go forth. To open doors and close doors and set our path to peace and prosperity. But also to give us each opportunities, bring people across our path that we have an opportunity to talk to about Jesus. And that we would not be bashful and that we would speak up and we'd say, hey, man, there's some crazy things going on. You ought to come to church with me this next Sunday. And I just dispatch you and I believe the people will respond in the name of Jesus. So be blessed, child of God. Have a great week. Have an anointed week, a prosperous week. A healed and whole week in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And you are dismissed. And again,